Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message, brought by Pastor Kyle, is entitled Rules of Engagement, and it's all about revenge, or the lack thereof. Stick around to see how God thinks we should handle this important topic.
All right. I love the enthusiasm. Well, good morning, Mason. Do you remember how many books are in the Bible?
66.
Man, you just say it like it's just, he's just kind of nonchalant about it. He's like, 66. The book of Proverbs we're going to be talking about today. Is Proverbs in the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Pretty sure it's in the Old.
That's right. That's a pretty good guess. It's in the Old Testament. That's right. And so, you know, Proverbs is an interesting book because it gives us a lot of different ideas, little things of what things we should do and not do, how to be wise, how to be smart, smart living. And today, we're talking about a passage here that I'm going to read to you. It's in Proverbs chapter 25. And in verse 21, first of all, let me ask you, what is an enemy? Yeah, somebody goes against me. Like, you know, if somebody's my enemy, they would be going against me. They'd be attacking me. Or if they're the enemy of the country, they'd be attacking the country. But so listen to this verse here. I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think it means? It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. What do you think that means? Yeah, even to our enemy. That's really strange, isn't it? I mean, this is a person who wants to hurt us. And yet, this is telling us if they're hungry, give them something to eat. And if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Now, and it says if we do these things, it says by doing those things, you will pile up burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. What do you think that means?
That'll change him?
It might. Yeah, it might change him. You know, we don't know all the different practices that they used to do 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. So it's, you know, this burning coals on your head. You know, burning coals is like what you see like in a barbecue pit or on the bottom of fire. You know, so that doesn't sound like that would feel very good if it's on somebody's head. But I think what it means maybe is that it would kind of make the enemy feel a little bit ashamed for being mean. What do you think?
No, I think it would be something like burning away the sins.
Okay, could be burning away the sins. Okay, that's very spiritual. Good. So, but it says here that the Lord will reward you. So even if we have somebody who is being mean to us, if we're nice in return, God's going to be happy with us. Do you think that's true? Yeah, I think it's true also. And Proverbs has got lots of little things in here about that that'll help us. So, do you have any questions about God or the Bible?
No.
No? Okay, good. Well, you're a pretty smart guy. You got it pretty good going pretty good. So, well, will you pray with me?
Dear God,
thank you for loving me.
Help us to be nice
to our enemies
whenever we are faced with them.
So that we can show them your love.
So we can show them your love.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Mason. Did you want a bag to bring back with you?
No.
Okay. Why would he want that?
He's got a bag.
He's got a bag. Okay. He's all set. You know, with the anniversary of the Battle of Lusty coming up next weekend, and we have a star attraction that's going to be in that, back there. So Mr. Bud's going to be, I'm sure, this is the big time of the year, and in addition to other things. But I thought this, with the Battle of Lusty coming up next weekend, that I would relate an account that occurred about 15 months before that battle in the December of 1862. You see, Richard Kirkland enlisted in the 2nd South Carolina Volunteer Infantry in April 1861, just after the Civil War, or the War of Northern Aggression, depending on your politics, broke out. And Kirkland's regiment was attached to the Army of Virginia. So it saw a lot of action in this war. And he was a veteran of many battles, including the First Battle of Bull Run, the Battle of Maryland Heights, and the Battle of Antietam. He was also a veteran of the historic defeat of the Union Army at the Battle of Fredericksburg, Virginia. In that battle, thousands of Union troops attempted to break through the Confederate lines that were behind this stone wall on the heights above the town on December 13, 1862. This building here was just 6 years old when that battle took place. Wave upon wave of blue soldiers fell attempting to get across that wall on a cold day in December. And this war is still the costliest of all the wars that the U.S. has been engaged. Brother fought against brother, neighbor against neighbor, and the nation was torn in two over strong political disagreements. Both sides villainized the other, and conflict was used to try and assert each side as the correct one. They are both convinced that the other side was committing wrongs against the other, and war was just the outcome. Now, have you ever daydreamed of how you would get back at someone who did you wrong? Honestly? Isn't it our nature to want to get even when someone attacks us? I'm not talking about physically attacking, though that does sometimes happen too. No, I'm talking about those little jabs and sometimes big things that people do to us because they dislike us. Maybe they hate us. Whatever the reason, some people just treat us badly. Maybe they're selfish. Maybe they're mean. Or maybe they just decided they don't like us for whatever reason. It's like they distort whatever we do or try and twist it into something wicked. I'm frequently amazed at how an innocent gesture of kindness can be twisted around in someone's mind to think there was evil in the action. So when they do something mean to us, our tendency is to want to get even, to balance the scales of justice. So what do? We do something mean back to them. And of course, in our eyes, we are well within our rights. They started this. I'm going to finish it. After we get even, we sit back smugly and congratulate ourselves and on how we have once again made the universe a just place to live. However, in the mind of our enemy, they don't see it like us. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if when we responded back to them, we got even, that they would say to themselves, "Wow, I hurt Jonathan. You know, I deserved what I just got. I'm going to rethink my life choices and be a better person from here on." I mean, isn't that what we secretly will happen when we respond like that? To us, they started it. They had it coming. But how often does that really happen? I suspect it happens less than 1% of the time, honestly. In the heat of the moment, which is usually when we retaliate, we're just not thinking rationally. We're thinking emotionally. They hurt me, so I will hurt him. When we react emotionally, things can get very out of hand. People start yelling. Violence is just around the corner. You know, Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the U.S., and he had an extremely difficult task as the commander-in-chief over this war. And if you look at the tactics practiced by the Union Army, the generals were often hesitant, reluctant, and downright fearful in their approaches to many battles. Many times, this hesitancy led to an opportunity for the Confederate Army generals to regroup. And the Confederate generals, they were bold, they were decisive, and they weren't afraid to rush in to conflict. They fought as if they had nothing left to lose. So when Lincoln was faced with yet another Union Army defeat, he became so angry at his general, he would sit down at his desk and write out the letter sealing that general's fate. You're fired. Plus, he would list a multitude of reasons why his dismissal was appropriate. And Lincoln was gifted with words, and he used them to fiery effect when he wrote those letters. Lincoln, however, was also very wise. After writing the letter, he would put it in his desk drawer and wait. Usually a day, sometimes longer, the pink slip that he had handwritten to his general was when he was emotionally responding to the situation. He needed to think rationally about it before he acted on it. So President Lincoln demonstrated great resolve in handling his emotions. He vented them in a manner that no one, maybe other than his close family, knew his actual feelings. And bottling up emotions usually doesn't work for the long haul. In order to function, and function well, he recognized the need to let his reason guide his decisions more than his emotions. When we respond to someone's attack on us, are we responding rationally or emotionally? Most of those letters Lincoln wrote were never sent. When we respond emotionally and we give our enemy a taste of their own medicine, who are we really hurting? We may feel a little elated initially, but in the long run, we are the ones who are made sick by our actions. And speaking of the long run, what have we really accomplished? When I get revenge, these three things generally tend to happen. The other person feels justified for what they did, that I deserved it. Look at what you just did to me. Second, the conflict escalates. In military terms, the other side goes to DEFCON 4 or the next one up. I must win at all costs. And third, we both become so entrenched in our views, I am right, it's my enemy who's wrong, that reconciliation becomes much more difficult. Maybe even impossible. Maybe we don't care if we reconcile with the other person. Maybe because we'll never see them again. But maybe it's somebody we work with or our neighbor or a family member. If we get to the point where reconciliation is not possible, our work life or family life is harder. We may think, I'm a good person. I'm nice to everyone. I don't have enemies. What was it Jesus said? There's no one good but God. And even if you are a good person, can't you still have enemies? Jesus had enemies. Of course, you know, we think of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and virtually all the Sanhedrin. But he even had enemies within his own family. In the book of Mark, his brothers tried to take him away from the crowds and said Jesus was crazy. At the beginning of John 7, the religious leaders in Jerusalem were already looking to put Jesus to death. He was not going to go because it wasn't yet the day ordained by God for him to take up his role as a sacrificial lamb. In the opening verses of John chapter 7, he wrote here, the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. And any of these major feasts, people generally go to Jerusalem. But he also knew he wasn't to go because the Jews were seeking to kill him. But listen to what his brother said in verse 3. Therefore his brother said to him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. So wait a minute. They're looking to put him to death if he goes into Judea. And his brothers are saying, what? You should go to Judea. Jesus had enemies in his own family. So you see that even Jesus had these issues going on here too. For us to think that we will not have antagonists in our lives is just wishful thinking. And even if we decide to live like a hermit, there's going to be someone who says, what's wrong with that guy? Do you think he's better than me? Right? We just can't escape this. We will always be faced with someone who decides in their heart that you or me is their opponent. Sometimes it even happens in the church. That's very painful. In wartime, military forces are typically provided rules of engagement. Bombing hospitals, for example, is viewed as inflicting harm on the innocent, so combatants are instructed not to attack such places. Likewise, some of the cowardly types like to hide their army within a hospital because they know that the other side won't attack that place and the enemy can remain unharmed. There's a rule of engagement that military does not use a hospital with innocent patients inside as a base of operations. And there are other rules which typically protect innocent civilians from the brutality of war. And as followers of Jesus of Nazareth, we have our own rules of engagement that applies to the situations we've talked about today. But our rules of engagement are drastically different from the world. In fact, you could say that they are upside down from what the world thinks. When we as Christians respond in kind to somebody who attacks us, what does that say about us? Are we as Christians any different from the world? If someone's looking from the outside in, could they tell which of us is right and which of us is wrong? Probably not. Fortunately, we have help in our life's guidebook that can give us some direction. In Proverbs chapter 25, Solomon instructed us on wisely responding to the actions of an enemy. And beginning in verse 21, for if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Wait. If your enemy is hungry, good. They can't fight me if they're hungry. And they're getting what they deserved anyway. But that's a worldly response. A better response is to give our enemies something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Now, If someone is looking in from the outside, can they tell who is right and who is wrong? Maybe, maybe not. But they can certainly tell who is the Christian. The contrast between the two parties is clear. Our kindness, our gentleness, the way we respond to the actions of our enemy shines a spotlight on the one who hurt us. It illuminates their mean-spiritedness. What can the enemy say to that? The following verse in Proverbs depicts what happens to our enemy when we respond this way. And it says, "For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." What does that mean? I found one scholar in my research that said it may come from an Egyptian expiation ritual, you know, in which a person guilty of some wrongdoing would carry a pan of burning coals on his head as a sign of his repentance. I don't know. I don't think it's critical for us to know exactly what the practice it was, but to understand the message conveyed by the imagery. And that's our kind response may shame our opponent. It may help them to realize what kind of person we are. By not responding with evil of our own, we make it possible for them to see where they may have been wrong. It makes it possible for reconciliation. It likely will de-escalate the situation. But even if it doesn't, by not responding to another's evil, we please God. You know, there are instances in the New Testament that speak to our treatment of our enemies. And Anne read to us what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He told us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Doesn't that sound like it would apply to these encounters as well? But how many times have we been wronged by someone else and made a conscious effort to stop, love them, and pray for them? I'll confess, this is a hard one. It's not usually top of mind when someone has made me mad. And I bet I'm not the only one either. Most or all of us have failed in some way on this issue as well. It's because we are still stuck in the emotional moment. We need to move into the rational. You know, Paul, a man known to have many enemies among the Jewish leaders, he also speaks on this topic. And he quotes this proverb in his letter to the Roman church in chapter 12. And in verse 19 and 20, he says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." By not taking revenge, we are actually demonstrating trust, faith, that God will make things right. You know, God is telling us, "I got this." But do we believe Him? Do we really believe Him? If the person is a Christian, God will convict them of what they did. And if they're not a Christian, then they will have seen a beautiful side of a believer. And the Holy Spirit may use that to draw them in. It's often helpful to see things from our enemy's perspective as best we can. That's tough. But in nearly every situation, there is some component that we probably need to own. Maybe it was a humorous remark that just went wrong, or something we did or didn't do. Many times, we can't see it, what was he did, unless we sit down and talk with them. But talk needs to be focused on behaviors. And only a rational discussion is a productive one. Sometimes it's good to air feelings, but intense emotions usually only entrench people in their own position. We can focus on what we can control. We can't change the other person. We can change how we interact with them. When a person nitpicks everything about us, there's probably something greater under the surface. Control what we can control. Let God do the rest. You see, Sergeant Kirkland had an opportunity to put into practice today's scripture. After the Union Army had unsuccessfully tried to storm the walls at Fredericksburg, the walking wounded retreated to hospitals behind their lines. But hundreds of Union soldiers were wounded and unable to get up and leave the battlefield. On the morning of December 14th, Sergeant Kirkland took as many canteens of water as he could carry and went across the lines. He went among his enemies and brought them water and covered them with blankets in the line of fire of the Union troops. He wasn't allowed to bring a white flag with him, so if they started firing, he'd literally be caught in a crossfire. Back and forth he went, offering each of his enemies a drink. A cheer came up out of the Union lines during that 90 minutes he went back and forth. He was demonstrating that Christian concept of when your enemy is thirsty, giving something to drink. And Kirkland was immortalized as the angel of Mary's Heights. And this statue was erected for him at the Fredericksburg battlefield. Sergeant Kirkland went on to fight at Gettysburg and Chickamauga, where he met his death. And as he ordered his troops to retreat, his dying words to them were, "Tell my pa, I died right." Sometimes we just need to recognize that there are fundamental differences between people. Maybe they are in a phase of life that will change later. Maybe they won't. We can't fix that. Control what we can control. Let God do the rest. Trust that He will make it right. Yes, Sergeant Kirkland, you lived an example for loving your enemy. Let's focus on how we can respond to our enemies in a winsome way, even when we don't want to. Let's pray. Lord God, we try to treat others the way you taught us. Sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. When we're attacked, help us to respond rationally. Help us to give our enemy food if they are hungry and give them water if they're thirsty. When we're wronged, we trust that you will make things right. We want to control what we can control and just let you do the rest. May our actions reflect your love and bring you the honor and glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Do you have enemies today? Or if not, maybe there's just a few people in your life that you'd rather not be around. Regardless, how would your relationship with those people be different if you were just beyond nice to them? Try that this week and see if that particular relationship changes for the better. And see you next time.